Family, so great to be with you. A little bit of a battle this morning, but thank you very much. And I'm going to ask Lady Rochelle to come and lead us in song. I'm just happy to be with you. And I'm happy to be with you and just to be in your presence. And I'm thankful for who the Lord is and all that he is doing. If at any time you're unable to hear or to see, please do definitely let us know. And I'll just quickly open in prayer. God, we thank you so much. We thank you for the opportunity to be with you, to be in your presence. We thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your mercies that are new every morning. Certainly, Lord, great is your faithfulness. I thank you for the opportunity to gather even in this place. And Lord, I pray that you would be with us as only you can. Thank you for being with us. Do all that you purpose to do. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray and we say, amen.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to ask for those who feel comfortable while we're singing and praising God together, just so we can feel that sense of community. If you feel comfortable turning on your camera, you can leave your mics off because I'm not sure how that will work with multiple voices. But we're going to open up this morning in the book of Luke, chapter 10. And Ms. Hannah and I read this passage in for Sunday school this morning, and it's a sort of concept or idea that I've been thinking about recently, and so I'll share, and then we'll sing, and be together today. Starting in verse 38, Luke chapter 10, it reads, "Now it happened as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her.'" And this is a passage of scripture that I come back to over and over again because I can often be distracted by so many things. But even serving sometimes can be a distraction. And so as we reflect on that passage this morning, and as we sing together, I'll just invite us to use this time and to carve out some time in the coming week just to be in the presence of God, just to be with Jesus, not doing anything for him or wanting to serve him in any particular way, but just being there with him, giving him our praise and our worship. Amen.
In our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you.
endless, you give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you all. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you all. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. Let's sing that to him again. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour exalted, my King, you're exalted, and I will praise you. You are exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise your name. Exalted, my King, you're exalted on high. I will praise you. You are exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise your name. For you are the Lord, forever your truth shall reign. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being our King, who is exalted on high, who is worthy of all praise, the one whom we can come to with our joys, with our sorrows, with our questions and our concerns, the one who is always there, waiting for us to come and to sit at your feet and just be in your presence. Father, we pray today that even as you have met us in this place and you are here with us, you would help us to hear your voice clearly as you speak. Help us to respond clearly as you move us by your Spirit. And have your way in us, around us, and through us this week, this day, even in this moment. Let your perfect will be done. We thank you and we praise you for the word that is to come forth. We ask that you will let us be not hearers only, but doers. And help us just to remain in your presence, seeking your face, receiving your guidance, and being ever with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So just very grateful for our time this morning and prayer and song. Amen. Okay. This is going to be a little old school this morning. I think I may avoid trying to use slides and just speak with you. So if you have your Bible, please feel free to open it, or otherwise, if you have a notepad, you can take it out and write down anything that comes to you. Certainly just grateful for God's hand upon our lives, and who he is to us, and just his faithfulness and his goodness. And the first scripture I'll begin with will be Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. And we have a number of scripture that we'll go through, but that is where we will begin this morning. Just want to open up what I want to share with you on today. This is one of those examples of that exactly what I want to speak with you about is exactly what I'm experiencing. So we thank God for his goodness and his mercy. With each of you here. For our time together this morning, I want to speak about creating spiritual spaces that work. Creating spiritual spaces that work. And Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. And Jesus says to them, "In this manner, therefore, pray: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for your hand upon us. We thank you for creating this opportunity for us to draw together in you. Lord, please have your will in your way, even in spite of me, even in spite of us. But by your grace and by your mercy, by your goodness, God, the reality is we don't want to leave this place the same, but we want to leave here looking more like you. So God, please do what only you can do and let it be to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Creating spiritual spaces that work. For our time together, what I hope to accomplish is for us to talk about what is significant about a space or a place. To clarify why a conducive space or a conducive place or a conducive atmosphere is important, and to begin a dialogue on how you shift an atmosphere in your favor, and to begin to empower you to shift an atmosphere towards God's will. Beginning when I was a young adult, the more I began to walk with God by His Holy Spirit, the more I was in ongoing conversation with God through prayer and through Scripture, the more I made decisions in line with God's will for my life versus Orlando's will for his life, or versus me partnering up with what other people wanted, the more I made decisions in line with God's will for my life, the more I understood that God indeed had a will for my life, that his thoughts were more numerous towards me than I could count, the more I sought to operate in my assignment, in the spiritual gift God has given me by grace, is when I began to recognize that there indeed exists opposition to God's will, as well as an invitation for God's will. For an invitation, Jesus taught his disciples, as we read in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. So this is an example of an invitation for God's will. For an example of opposition to God's will, I consider the narrative recorded in the Gospels of Mark and Matthew in describing the ministry scene for Jesus while Jesus was in a particular area in Matthew 13. Beginning at verse 58, we find these words that says, "Now Jesus did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief." In life, there is invitation and opposition for God's will to be done. And when I am a co-laborer with Christ, a partner, a participant in what God is doing with and for others and with and for myself, I experience this invitation and opposition to God's will. Even as being for or against me, though I know that I am an ambassador, a representative of God and not God himself, what I experience is ease and or resistance. The invitation creates an experience of ease that helps accomplish my intentions and progress in Christ, accepts God's will all around. The opposition creates an experience of resistance to halt or hinder my intentions and progress in Christ, rejecting God's will all around in both big and small matters. For an analogy, one of the things that I would do regularly, used to do regularly, is run long distance. And runners might describe the experience as similar to the wind being at their back, pushing them in the direction that they are heading, versus the wind being at their face or at their chest. And even though the runner is trying to go forward, the wind is pushing in opposition to where they are attempting to head. When the wind is with you, the work is easier. When the wind is against you, the work is harder to complete. In your life, in the places you spend your time, where you live, in the activities in which you engage, what is your sense of what exists as far as ease and resistance to the things of God, to the will of God, to the larger work of the body of Christ, to the larger mission of God's love for the world, even to your personal and individual progress? Have you noticed that some days are easier than other days? Some relationships are easier than other relationships. Some work is easier than other work. Today, I want to speak with you about creating spiritual spaces that work, both for you and for whom God has placed around you. Jesus encountered both favorable and unfavorable places. An example of a favorable place, if we look at Luke's account in chapter 4, verses 40 through 41, we will find these words describing a ministry experience of Jesus. Luke chapter 4, verses 40 through 41, when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And Jesus laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. And so this was a scenario where Jesus was ministering, and everyone, the scripture says, everyone that the people brought to Jesus to be healed, Jesus was healing them. This was a favorable scenario for them receiving God's will for their lives, not just physical healing, but a spiritual introduction to who God was and who is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. An unfavorable scenario, I think about Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, and this goes back to a scripture we read earlier, and this is Mark's account. And in the book of Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, it reads, "Then Jesus went out from there and came to his own country as his disciples followed him." Verse 2, "And when the Sabbath had come, Jesus began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, 'Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter's son, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?' So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, 'A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house.'" And here's the verse, verse 5. Now Jesus could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hand on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. Jesus was the same, but he had different accomplishments depending on where he was. Even when Jesus was at his best, doing the will of God the Father, Jesus, the Son of God, experienced resistance. Some days, some places, people could not get enough of Jesus and what he brought. In other settings, people sought to kill him, stone him for what he did and what he represented. What is it about a place that it could even resist what Jesus wanted to accomplish in it? A place represents the environment in which you operate. A place represents the environment in which you operate. So your room right now is a place that you're in, that you're studying, that you're eating, that you're living, that you're sleeping, your home, your apartment, being in the particular city that you were in, that reflects a place that you were in, being on a particular campus reflects where you are. These are places that reflect the environment in which you operate. A place also reflects the environment inside of you. The environment inside of you in which your faith operates. So there's an external environment in which you go and you move about. And then there's an internal environment where your faith exists and where your faith operates. I think about Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 34. And this is an example of a woman with an issue of blood. And it says in verse 25, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.' Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' But his disciples said to him, 'You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, "Who touched me?" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith be made well. Go in peace and be healed of your own affliction.'" The woman lived in an unfruitful environment. The Bible says that she had spent all her livelihood trying to be healed. And then she was in a scenario where throngs were pressing Jesus, but they weren't getting results. And scripture says that she lived and spent time in a place that was not giving her what she needed. But the woman on the inside had an environment of faith. Her inner place of faith met with Jesus, and the miracle that she needed came to pass. Another gospel says that the woman spoke to herself, saying, "If I may only touch the hem of his garment." She spoke to herself. She had an inner conversation with her faith about what she needed. There's also the space around you. That's an example of the woman negotiating the space within her, but there's also the space around you. Also surrounding this verse, Mark chapter 5, beginning first at verses 21 through 24. It says, "Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw Jesus, he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged Jesus earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live.' So Jesus went with him, and great multitudes followed him and thronged him." And then the Bible says, going down to verse 35, "While Jesus was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, 'Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?'" And so this man was believing that God was able to heal his daughter. But in the process of him experiencing this, people come from his house and give him the news that his daughter is dead. And if we keep reading, verse 36, "As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, 'Do not be afraid, only believe.' And Jesus permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then Jesus came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw in a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When Jesus came in, he said to them, 'Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping.' And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. There's the space that is within you, in which the woman with the issue of blood was healed. And then there's the space that is around you, and that's what Jairus was operating in. And when Jesus came to an encounter where the space around Jairus did not accommodate the miracle that Jesus wanted to do, scripture says that Jesus put people out the house, that Jesus got rid of them. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that Jesus only permitted James and John and the brother of James to accompany him. He had to get around him people who were expectant for what he was going to do. And when Jesus created the outside environment that was conducive for a miracle to happen, the Bible says that Jesus spoke and the little girl arose. There's a space that is within you, and there is the space that is around you. In its simplest form, in its most straightforward form, a place can be in darkness or a place can be in light. A place can be covered in darkness or a place can be revealed in light. The author of Matthew, in his book reflecting on the life and ministry of Jesus, wrote about Jesus' travels to different places. And he quoted the prophet Isaiah in Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. It says, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region in the shadow of death, light has dawned. Well, who is the light? Jesus is the light. Jesus in John 8:12 says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Well, who else is light? You and I, in Christ, we are light. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Well, what's wrong with darkness? The problem with darkness is that it blinds people to who God is and what God can do. The problem with darkness is that in it, people don't know where they are going, and so they stumble. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, the author speaks, he who loves his brother abides in light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Sometimes we come across scenarios and people who are in darkness. Now, there's a spirit of darkness that seeks to blind people, but then there are people who are just succumb and overcome by the darkness. And we want them to give us spiritual answers where they can't see spiritual things. And we want them to behave a certain way, but the scripture says that they are blinded. They cannot see the way forward. The scripture says they stumble. Of course they fall because they cannot see. They are in darkness. But because of the light of Christ in you and because of who God is and by his Holy Spirit, there is revelation that comes from the light of Christ. And so what is our charge? Our charge as children of light is found in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 14. We don't lift up our nose about anyone because of this opening verse. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For what is shameful even to speak For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for what makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. There are dark places. And the reality is you can find yourself in dark. You can find yourself in less than fruitful environments. You can find yourself in dim places and situations. Well, what do? First off, scripture acknowledges what's at work against the Spirit of God trying to resist God's Holy Spirit. Externally and internally. Externally, the fight is spiritual in nature. I bring back to you the scripture we read on last week, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 through 13. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. What does that mean? That means when you find yourself in a dark scenario, trying to accomplish God's will, stop speaking to the people around you and speak to the spirit that is over that space. Speak to the principalities that are in the air. Don't curse people, but talk to the spirit in which they are operating, the spirit which might be blinding them from moving forward. Internally, the fight is also spiritual in nature. In favor of our own well-being, we are fighting for faith versus unbelief on the inside. On the inside, we are fighting for power and peace versus fear. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, Paul talks to Timothy and he says, "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear." It's a spirit of fear. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Your authority is in Christ Jesus. You have a mission and you have an assignment. The mission is the Great Commission. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Amen for your degree. Amen for what you're building. Amen for the finances you're gathering. Amen for the future home and family you want to build. But remember, we are going after a greater mission of helping people become followers of Jesus Christ and being introduced to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Also remember that while you have a mission, you have a guide. Jesus said to his disciples in John 14:25, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." So not only do you have a mission and not only do you have a guide, but you also have power, Holy Spirit power. In Acts chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, where the disciples are trying to ask Jesus what's going to happen next and is the kingdom going to come, Jesus says to them, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So when you think about your internal space, when you think about your external space, remember that you are on mission, God's mission, that you have a guide, the Holy Spirit, and that you are empowered by the Holy Spirit. So what do we do to shift an environment in the place that it favors you and what God wants to do in you and around you and through you? What do you do to shift an atmosphere so that it is a place favoring what God wants to do? Well, you do what Jairus did, and you do what the woman with the issue of blood did. You allow God to displace what is working against you and against God's will. You allow God to displace what is working against you and what is working against God's will. In the context of Jairus, you allow God to displace the external factors that are seeking to prevent his will from moving forward. In the case of the woman with the issue of blood, you allow the faith on the inside of you to defy the circumstances of disbelief on the outside of you, so that you're able to move forward in the things that God has given you. I appreciate this old hymn. It says, "I will make the darkness light before thee. What is working, what is wrong, I will make right before thee. And the battles I will fight before thee, and the high places I will bring down." The lyricist is talking about what God is doing on behalf of his people. It says, "When you walkest by the way, I'll lead thee. On the fatness of the land, I'll feed thee. And a mansion in the sky, I'll deed thee. And the high places I'll bring down. With an everlasting love, I'll love thee. Though with trials deep and sore, I'll prove thee. But there's nothing that can hurt thee or move thee. And the high places I will bring down. Solomon, who was king and also the son of King David, Solomon built God a temple, and God permitted him to do so. And 2 Chronicles chapter 7, beginning at verse 1, talks about what happened when Solomon was getting ready to dedicate the temple to God. And the scripture says, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the house. What you want to happen in your spaces is for the glory of the Lord to come into your space. You want to present such an invitation to God that nothing else can stand, because God's glory has filled that space. When you go in to take your exam, you want God's glory to be in there with you. When you move forward to have conversations, trying to accomplish something, or you're trying to minister, you want God's glory to be in that place. When you walk into a scenario and you're trying to accomplish God's will for your life, you want the peace and the fullness of God to be in you, and like rivers of living water to flow from you. And sometimes we have to do like how Solomon did. We have to pray and invite God's glory to fill a space. When we see a situation going sideways, we have to invite God's glory to fill a space. And God's glory will shift everything. On next week, I want us to actually practice creating an atmosphere. I want you to share what you do to create an atmosphere of an atmosphere that's conducive for God's will to be done. And as I was putting this together, I recognized that everything couldn't happen in one place. But what I do know is that atmospheres don't just necessarily happen, but we have to work and practice on making them happen. And what I want to share with you in closing are what I call nourishment centers, or things that I ask for you to prepare in your life, so that when you need to offer up a prayer, when you need to offer up a praise, when you need to replace fear with faith, when you need to shift an environment internally or externally, that you have at your fingertips, you have at your disposal tools that are spiritual that will allow you to accomplish in your life what God wants you to accomplish. Quickly, I'll read Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. I can provide this to you written out, but I'm just going to run through them right now. Music. What songs lift you? What can you hear audibly that will help you to shift internally or externally something in God's favor, the atmosphere in God's favor? For me, it's two things. I listen to particular music. I don't know if you noticed, but I play some instrumental spiritual music when I was trying to get set for here. And there's an author, Dappy Keys, and he just plays on the piano. And it's spiritual music that helps to move forward. I also listen to good preaching to move forward. The next one, thoughts. What thoughts speak to you? What quotes, what scriptures give you confidence? For me, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things that passed away, behold, all things that become new. Reminds me of who I am in Christ. Have that written in a section of your phone. Have that written in a notebook that you can go to it all the time. Experiences. What experiences rejuvenate you? For me, sometimes it's hearing good preaching. For other people, it might be experiencing corporate worship. For me, it's time with family. It's time with close friends. The next one, friends. What friends encourage you? For me, it's families, siblings, inner circle. Who are the people you can get yourself around when you need to put yourself in an environment of faith? An environment that is inviting to what God wants to do. Recreation. What recreation recreates you? What is it that you can do that is like therapy to you? For me, it's running. It's being outside. It's having unscheduled downtime. Spirit. What spiritual exercises strengthen you in your faith? For me, it's reading scripture. It's writing. And hopes. What are your hopes? What are your dreams that can help you to think forward? I go to my hopes and I drink deeply. I think about books that changed me when I read them, and I keep them on my shelf. I think about memories that make me smile. And giftedness. What are your gifts that God has given you that activates you, that challenges you, that nourishes you? Me is the gift of exhortation. It's the gift of teaching. It's the gift of building and strategic thinking. And when I go into an atmosphere and I begin to exhort both myself and others, me walking in that strength shifts the atmosphere and allows God to move forward. So to summarize, we spoke about what is significant about a space or a place. And we clarified why a conducive space is important and either helps or hinders what God wants to do. And we've begun a dialogue on how you shift an atmosphere in your favor. And all around us, we recognize that there are spaces of light and spaces of darkness. And that there are light spaces that get assaulted by darkness. And then there are dark spaces that are becoming light. And I'll say this. There's a period of time where I was in the hospital with my grandfather. And my grandfather was having some hallucinations and we didn't know what was going on. The doctors didn't know what was going on. And I didn't think it was spiritual, but I wasn't sure. But I was very troubled. It ended up that he had a type of dementia. I think it was type 2 Lewy body dementia. And the brain was deteriorating. And so it was creating certain experiences for him. But I remember that I was in that hospital room by myself with my grandfather there to watch him overnight while he was receiving care. And I was quite troubled. But I had my iPod Touch on me, real old iPod Touch. But I played two of my go-to sermons, both by T.D. Jakes. One, You Don't Have to Believe in My Dream. And the other one was Tell the Devil It's a Standoff. And just by feeding my spirit with God's word, where the man of God was gifted and was pouring into me, I was able to keep myself focused on what God wanted to do. And I was able to be in faith and not be in fear. And when one of the nurses came in at night, because my grandfather, he was going home. He said, give me my hat, give me my pants. I'm going home. He was trying to break out of there. And when one of the nurses came in, she said, she asked if we were of faith, some kind of way she discerned it. She said, may I pray for you? And she prayed, and it just calmed the scenario, and it just cooled the atmosphere. Here are my final thoughts for you. You have a role to play in creating spaces that work. Prepare and practice creating an atmosphere of worship. You have to prepare. You have to practice. It's not necessarily just going to happen when you need it to happen. And welcome God into all your spaces. When you wake up, welcome Him on the inside. Begin your day with scripture. End your day with scripture. When you go to your office, your place of work, your dorm room, when you go to classes, invite God to go with you and even go before you. And then finally, help create life-giving spaces for others. It's not just about us in our space, but it's also about what can we do to create a spirit-affirming atmosphere for those who are around us so that they may experience the full benefits of who God is. And so this is my charge for you this week, to complete the nourishment handout for yourself and to get your spiritual toolkit of what you can meditate on so that when it's time to pray and move forward and to shift an atmosphere in your favor and to create an atmosphere that is inviting to God's will, you are able to do it. Family, thank you so very much. And I want to read this closing scripture. I'm going to ask Lady Rochelle to come and lead us in a song. We've come this far by faith. And of course, we'll invite you to share your prayer requests and your praise reports. I know that's a lot happening all right now. But go ahead and you can get ready to share your praise requests and your praise reports and your prayer requests. And if you want, you can put in a scripture or you can unmute yourself and share. Psalm 34, this is David saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make his boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Amen. Well, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So let's do our closing song. We've come this far by faith.
We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He's never failed me yet. Oh, can't turn around.
God, we thank you so much for allowing us to be here on this day. God, go before us and set the atmosphere. Make it conducive for your perfect will to be done. Do all that you purpose to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you, family. Great being with you.